welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Well, of course, in the last 8 weeks or so, the world has turned upside down thanks to coronavirus, COVID-19, and that right now everybody's kind of looking at the improvement in the stock market, the increasing value of their 401k, increasing value. Hey, we've got some good news on the job market, but the number that farmers might be more interested in is what's the value of their land? Let's talk about the recent assessment, and of course the taxes that you pay on that land. A recent land study done by Farmers National Company, and Randy Dickoot of Farmers National joins us. Hello, Randy.
Hi, Mick.
How are you doing here on the, as we head into this, what's appearing to be a beautiful weekend?
Well, we're all doing well here in our company. We typically work in our local areas anyway, as our managers and agents, and the rest of us work out of offices, and we're just starting now to come back carefully into our office and follow those safety rules.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's hope everything gets back to normal. But the market for good cropland, is that normal, or where are we at now in the early part of June 2020?
We started the year out on a positive note when agriculture grain prices were looking up. The last MFP payment portion from 2019 came in, so cash flow was looking better for farmers, and you know, there was some optimism, and that definitely held the land values a little bit stronger than they had been. But then we hit all of the COVID issues, and then the oil price wars that were instigated elsewhere, and that affect all of it on ethanol demand and, of course, livestock demand, and so things turned very negative throughout agriculture from one end to the other. And that you'd think might have some effect on land values, but a couple things that continue to support land values and keep them pretty steady. One, there's just very little on the market compared to sometimes, so there's less being sold, low interest rates, and then some interest in farmland as an investment during these uncertain times. So those are the positive factors pulling land that's keeping it, for good cropland, pretty steady.
Now, during our coronavirus pandemic, which has kept every, and of course, all of the auctions, equipment, and land were all done online. They were all virtual auctions, unlike the typical ones we had up until the end of March. Did you actually have a lot of land sales during the last 2 months, and what were the values?
We had more or less just a little bit slower, the number of farms and ranches that we sold. We switched from normal public outcry auctions that were scheduled to some of those became a public auction in a parking lot with the bidders and spectators sitting in their pickup trucks. And that worked pretty well in some places. We also went to online auctions, online only, which we've been offering that as others have too. And saw a few more of those. We saw some auctions over a conference call. And then we also do quite a few, especially up in the North Dakota area, bid sales, where send in written bids and on the land. And those work very well, too, for the seller. And so we continued on, and there just wasn't as many anywhere overall in our whole trade territory as there were.
Sure, but was demand there? What was the average, I guess, I'm sure it's going to vary by region, but was the value of land generally up?
It absolutely varies by regions. You take a place like Iowa, for instance, that had, you know, a lot of livestock, some dairy, ethanol production are big, and all of those took major hits. So I think the caution came into the Iowa market sooner, and so good quality land still sold about the same. Lower quality definitely was down, maybe up to 10%, right in reaction to that. North Dakota, I think good quality land stayed very steady, but again, it's fairly hard to tell because there's not much trading hands. South Dakota, some softening there, a little bit on the better quality, but not a lot. And I think as we go along these different, you know, positive and some potential negative factors will be playing out to see where we actually land in the months ahead.
Well, whether you're a parent dealing with a kid's dilemma or a weather forecaster looking ahead, I guess the question is, now what? What's coming for the land market, Randy?
Exactly. You know, the underlying economics of owning land with commodity prices and production yields and income all are an important factor, and we're all hoping for some better commodity prices. We've seen, you know, some improvement in those, but we need to see some more. We don't know, you know, what kind of weather and harvest season we will have and total production. That's going to be a huge impact on current income. So those are some challenges there. Some financial condition of some farmers will definitely be a challenge. And will we see a few more of those financially encouraged sales, I'll call it, that would come on later in the year or after harvest?
You mean the kind that the banker says, you better sell a quarter of land?
Exactly. Yeah. I like to call it financially encouraged and not a forced sale, because yeah. I think farmers and landowners are are more proactive today than in the 1980s to make wise financial decisions so they can continue their farming operation. You know, hopefully we don't see those. I know in Wisconsin, you know, the struggle that the dairy producers have had for years has had an impact on land values there. But elsewhere, you know, we're also, you know, positives could be, you know, how much federal support come through USDA and FSA for these low prices and interrupted production, not only for grain producers, but livestock producers. So there's going to be extra cash coming in. It won't make up for everything, but so we have to wait and see. Positives, again, are low interest rates. There's still not as lot on the market for sale. I don't see a lot more coming on the market. It's just going to be the typical inheritors and estates. So we'll see an uptick come fall and winter, but I don't think it'll be more than will overcome the demand that's in the market. And I think there's the other positive last thing here is there are investors and investment funds that are interested in owning farmland for various reasons right now. And so there's a little bit more of that coming into the market too.
All right, Randy, yeah, I think if the last survey holds true, I think 96% of farmland in the U.S. is owned by families. So it's important to pass that land on to the next generation. And let's hope that the value of that land is something that will allow for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Land is a long-term investment, a long-term generational hold for many families, whether they're non-operating owners and gotten away from farming that themselves or family farms it. So a lot of good connections there, long-term relationships, and the importance of land for a long-term, absolutely essential. And, you know, I think in the general attitude in the ag economy, the ag world is, you know, land is the most stable asset, and I think with everything going on, it's still going to be looked at that way.
For sure. Randy Dickett, Senior Vice President for the Real Estate for Farmers National Company. Your land valuation study and numbers and regional maps, I understand, are all available on your website.
Yes, they are, at www.farmersnational.com.
All right, Randy, I hope you continue healthy and successful and have a great weekend, Randy.
Yeah, you too, Mick. Thank you much.
You're welcome.